Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there, it's Martin Bruda.
And our special guest.
Nobody.
Let's not entirely true. I mean, we may have the Kool-Aid man bursting through our door in about a half an hour.
That's the rumor.
So hopefully he'll be some fresh blood in a half an hour.
I hope
rough
so.
Good start.
I hope so. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I had a rough week. It's busy.
If only it was a long weekend.
If only.
But, I mean, I guess it's not.
This is my favorite long weekend. Do you know why it's my favorite long weekend?
Pumpkin pie.
It's my birthday.
Oh, it's your birthday.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. Well, this is the Happy Birthday Marty show.
There you go.
Yeah.
I always got cheated out of a birthday dinner, though, because it always happened on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So instead of having, like, a Thanksgiving dinner and then a birthday dinner, it would just be Martin's Thanksgiving birthday dinner. So I always felt like, you know, a little cheated, a little gypped.
Yeah. My birthday's around Christmas.
Exactly. So you know exactly what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
but I didn't get presents. I would just like, here's your Christmas birthday present. Like, no.
Exactly.
Here's two presents.
Yeah, exactly. Here's your present.
Or six. Like,
what? What's going on?
That's not fair.
Did you check out that new bathroom?
I did check out the bathroom.
They renovated the radio. I think the folks in the lobby are going to giggle out of this, but they renovated the radio station here a little bit, and they've got the most high-tech, Star Trek-ish bathroom here that you'd ever believe.
You know, I didn't think of Star Trek as like a verb use towards that until you said it right there, and I'm like, yes.
It is. Like, there's this push button, and it glows red or green. Red means occupied. Green means free. You got to push the button. The door opens for you. You can't touch the door. You can't close it. You get in. You got to push a button to close the door. Then you got to push another button to lock it, and the light goes red. It's like airlock. It's just, and it's huge and white and spacey. And hey, I think we're supposed to talk about comic books, not bathrooms and birthdays.
Comic books, bathrooms, it's all the same.
There you go.
So, I got, yeah.
Yeah, comic books.
Comic books.
New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
That's going on right now.
Is that a thing?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
A bunch of people that we know are out there. Carlos from Gotham Central is out there. Jason Liu's out there.
Yeah.
Jason's running around the streets of Luke Cage, the streets of Harlem, trying to find Luke Cage. He's taking pictures at, like, all these street signs and memorable locations and locales from Luke Cage, which of course is all the rage right now on the Netflix. But
have you seen Luke Cage?
I think I'm on episode 4. It's been a busy week, so I haven't had a chance to burn through them all. But so far, it's pretty decent.
I still haven't watched Jessica Jones.
Oh, that was good too.
I'm terrible.
You should catch up.
I'm fired from the TV portion of this.
You should definitely catch up. But yeah, New York Comic Con, I guess they were announcing a few things. They announced some Marvel stuff, but I got to be honest with you. Since New 52, I don't pay any attention to Marvel whatsoever.
You mean since Rebirth?
Yes. Since Rebirth. Since the end of New 52.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on. One title I'm interested in, I ordered, was that Hawkeye with Kate Bishop, right?
Yeah.
The female Hawkeye. I really liked the Matt Fraction Hawkeye with that had... her and Clint Barton, that was pretty good. Kind of lost interest a little bit in the Jeff Lemire one that came out afterwards. I had a problem with the whole time travel, talking you know, we're talking about the old characters, and then the next page, the new characters, and the old characters, yeah. and the new characters. That kind of thing turns me off a little bit. I'm a little more linear kind of guy.
Sure.
But this looked pretty good, so I'm going to add it.
Okay.
So that brings my Marvel titles in my pull list to a whopping 2.
That's beating me by 1. There I had go. 1, which is Daredevil.
I got Star Wars, and now I'm going to get the Hawkeye.
I haven't read Daredevil for a couple of months, but I, you know, still just keep getting it.
Yeah, exactly.
And eventually I'll read it and then decide I should either keep getting it or stop.
That's like my pile of trade paperbacks. I literally have an entire comic book spinner rack and maybe a whole bookshelf of trade paperbacks waiting to be read, and I just haven't touched them. It's it's a bit funky.
I usually go on buying sprees that outpace my reading sprees.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why I have tons and tons of comic books at home for a rainy day, I guess, or, you know, when the wallet's empty, but the heart wants some comic books I haven't read.
I've been getting those Marvel Epic Collections, the ones that are reprinting some of the Bronze Age stuff. And that's pretty good. They seem to be a pretty decent deal.
Yeah.
As somebody who spent most of 2015 trying to get the original issues from the Bronze Age, let me tell you, these Epic Collection ones, very nice.
See, I like reading the trades.
Yeah.
But I also like owning the comics. But I'd rather read the trades because I don't want to wreck my comics.
Exactly.
So, you know, exactly. Because you might pay $5 or $6 an issue for some of those things, and then you let Sam near them. And
yeah, some are like $20, and then all of a sudden Sam's like munching on them and gumming your comic books. That's not right.
Gumming your $200 Captain Canuck comic book.
Now, I saw online in relation to the New York Comic Con, a lot of people are talking about DC Rebirth Wave 2.
Wave 2.
And some people have called it Wave 2.
Is that like Phase 2?
Yeah, but it's not really much of a wave. It's just, you know, they did the same thing with the new 52 books, right? They released a whole bunch, and then they released a few more, and then they released a few more. And
yeah.
So right now they released, what was it, those little miniseries, the Dead Man, Death of Hawkman, some of those books. That didn't count as Wave 2? Like, why is this is now being called Wave 2? Anyways, it doesn't matter. It is what it is. But they announced there's going to be that Super Sons comic that they were talking about.
Right, yeah.
So Superboy, Clark Kent, and Lois Lane's kid. And then Damian Wayne. So they're going to be in a comic together called the Super Sons. Batwoman's getting her own title.
I saw that. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I might pick that up.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't read in depth in time because, you know, I was done in the bathroom and I had to go. So reading time's over, right? So I didn't read who the creative team is, whether anything's like, is it the same folks that were kind of rebooting it in New 52? Is it?
Yeah, I hadn't seen anything.
So I missed that, but I'm sure when more news comes out, when all the summaries from New York Comic Con hit at the end of the weekend, we'll get more information on that. And then there was a third one. Oh, the Justice League of America book.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in February, I guess it is, there's going to be 4 one-shots. Two every week or one every week. I can't remember what it was. But there'll be 4 one-shots kind of building up to it. The team's going to be like Killer Frost, Adam, the new guy. What's his name? Cho?
Is it?
I think so.
Because that was...
I know that the new Hulk. Hulk's name is Cho, too. But
yeah, I think there was an Adam named Cho.
Yeah, I
from
just
the
all-new
Adam
I just can't
series
remember.
From like 7 or 8 years ago.
I didn't follow that at all.
No, I bought all the trades, and then I kind of struggled to get through them.
There you go. Yeah, so he's going to be in it. This is horrible. Like, you'd think we'd prepare, because I can't remember who else is in it. But they're going to release the 4 sort of one-shots. That'll be the kind of like the rebirth issues.
Yeah.
Setting up the team, and then the team goes live with their own book every 2 weeks. So, I don't know. I mean... I'm not sure. I'm humming and hawing as to whether I'm going to get it. I guess we'll see, you know, we'll see a little bit of what happens, right?
Now, are you getting the other Justice League, like the regular Justice League?
I am getting
League
regular
book?
Yeah. Justice League. I don't know for how much longer. I didn't really like the first story arc. It was kind of.
I think that was just starting before we had our little mini hiatus, and you were talking like it was just too, like, wasn't up to the standard of everything else you'd been reading.
Yeah, exactly. Rebirth. It just seemed like a poor excuse. It's almost like they said, okay, this is the Justice League, so this has to be epic and global, yeah. And just like the Avengers movie was colossal and galactic, and we got to make the thing here, and they came out with these really weird... I'd almost call them elementals, but I don't know what that was all about. But, hold on, Tweedle's at the door.
He could just let himself in.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
How are you?
But yeah, his name is indeed Ryan Cho.
Okay, yep.
So he's going to be in the one issue. I can't remember who else is going to be in the other ones. That's how Vixen will be in one and the Ray is in the other one. Thank you, Google.
That's not a great, like, and those are going to be the characters from the team.
That they're the ones that are getting the one shots. They're the one that's going to be the core of the team. So I'm kind of wondering whether this is going to be like the last Justice League of America, the Canadian version there, where it was sort of, you know, four kind of background characters and it's not really the Justice League.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Sam, how you been?
Hey, good. How you guys doing? Yeah, I hear you talking about the new Justice League books.
Yeah.
Could they have not picked a group of more uninteresting characters that nobody gives a darn about?
That's literally, like, we're sitting here struggling to remember who's on the team in the first place.
Wasn't Killer Frost somebody?
Yeah, Killer Frost is one of them.
Why don't they just bring back Ice?
Oh, Wouldn't that make more sense? That's played out. Ice and fire are played out. I don't know.
But really, like, I mean, I remember reading that list, and it's not even the real Adam.
No, it's the.
But he's been the Adam for a while now.
Well, you could say the same thing about Blue Beetle, right? You could say that's not
Ted
the real
Kord
Blue
is
Beetle.
The Blue Beetle.
Ted Kord, and then all the original Blue Beetle fans were going there.
Then you get those
Dan Hammond.
Dan Garrett.
That's right.
Who's Dan Hammond?
He's a guy. Hey, did you get a dicated? How come I didn't get a dicated die lanyard?
I got mine.
I need to know how come I didn't get one.
Dan and Fernando gave that to me.
I got your comic book.
Hey, I saw that. Thank you. That was
it's,
very kind of you.
Superman number 78 from Belgium. It's in French. It's Superman and Star Sapphire on the cover.
That's that the foot fetish.
The foot
cover.
Fetish cover.
Very famous cover.
I went to Quebec. Went to Laval and stopped into a comic shop and you know. Pardon, monsieur, parlez-vous anglais? He's like, yes. Oh, thank God. Do you have any Captain Canucks in French? And he was like, no. But I do have a box of French comics over there. So I went over there and I started digging through them and I found that Superman. And I found the first issue with Beta Ray Bill of Thor.
Yep.
In French. And I'm like, this is awesome. So I grabbed those two.
That's pretty cool.
They had a bunch of other ones, but I didn't want to spend it.
Did they have any French records?
It's a comic shop. Why would they have French records in a comic shop?
No, maybe it was a collectible store.
No, it was a comic shop. Mm. Remember when I said, hey, I went to Quebec and I went into a comic shop?
Well, yeah, I did thought that. I thought he would be like, oh, I have some Rene Samad records behind the counter here in case you're interested.
No,
in case you have a friend back in Ontario who might want these.
No, Rene Samad. So anyways, we were talking about New York Comic Con and any new announcements and stuff. It's been a little bit slow on the news front, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But then again, it's only Friday, right? How much news was released yesterday?
I didn't even know it started yesterday.
Yeah, so it's, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And, I was just mentioning to Dan here about Jason Liu on Facebook. He's posting pictures of him at all the places that Luke Cage happens.
Oh, that's so cool.
Because he's in New York, so he went to Harlem, and he's actually like...
Very cool. Have you guys seen the new Luke Cage show yet?
We did. Some of it.
I haven't watched it. Am I going to like it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that's cool. I do like the Marvel TV shows generally. Like, I like Daredevil. I liked Jessica Jones, and I'm ready for Luke Cage. Does he at least wear the metal headband?
There is a little bit of an Easter eggy thing. You haven't seen it, right?
No.
There is a little Easter eggy thing about the headband and the yellow shirt. It's hilarious when it happens.
Oh.
Only happens for a few seconds, but when it happens, it's one of those things where, you know, longtime fans are like, yes.
Yeah.
So that was kinda cool.
I'm looking forward to it. I love Luke Cage as a character I really like. So I'm definitely looking forward to checking that out. Yeah. So I feel like I just walked into the middle of something. I just did. I did. I'm so sorry.
Because you're tardy.
I had to, you know, work.
You're tardy.
Yeah. You know, but I like talking about comic books.
You're tardy. You're such a tard.
All right. Ooh.
Because you're tardy.
All right.
Why? Were you thinking something else?
Because
you're tardy.
Well, speaking of
tards, makes you a tard. Does that not?
No. I want to talk about something I read. Can I talk about
the
book I read? Oh, my God. So I'm at work, right? I've been reading comics a lot at work because I have time to.
As opposed to working.
Well, sometimes there's some time to have some downtime, especially during my lunches. So I've gone through all my comics. So I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start going into some of those trade paperbacks that I've bought that I've never read. And this week,
I'm having a sense of deja vu here, Dan.
This week, I've read one heck of a great book. It's a masterpiece, and I think it's one of those unsung masterpieces of the 1980s. And it is The Trial of the Flash.
Was that done by Carmine Infantino?
It is Carmine Infantino.
That is exactly why I never read that darn
thing. It was Carmine Infantino and Kerry Bates. And it was so interesting. It was one of those things that you just didn't get in the early 80s, especially in DC Comics, where this series ran from Flash number 323 to its final issue in 350.
With no number ones and reboots in between?
None at all.
What?
It was over...
Come on. I
think it was 23 issues.
You sure this wasn't called the Spectacular...
Flash?
Flash?
No, it was...
The Superior Flash?
It was
over... The all-new, all-different Flash?
This whole storyline took 2 years to complete, and it is a page-turner. Once you start reading it, you cannot put it down. And it has all these great supporting characters that have completely... erased, like, are nowhere in time anymore. No one remembers them. Basically, what the storyline goes, and there's no spoilers because this book came out, what, over close to 40 years ago?
Yeah.
1985.
Right. So basically, what happened is the Flash is about to marry a woman. Everybody remembers Barry Allen's second fiance, Fiona Webb, right?
Oh, nope. For sure. I remember.
Right?
Yeah.
Fiona Webb, right? So he's about to marry Fiona Webb. So, of course, Reverse Flash, Professor Zoom's like, well, I've already killed Iris Allen, so I should kill Fiona Webb, too. So at Barry Allen's...
What a jerk.
I know, right? What a buzzkill. So at Barry Allen's wedding, the Reverse Flash attacks Fiona, and Barry has to become the Flash. And in the conflict, he breaks Professor Zoom's neck, and he kills him. He kills him dead. No coming back, no, you know, it's not a hoax. He's dead, dead, dead. And because he's done this, he stood Fiona up at the chapel, and Fiona loses her mind and goes insane and is end up put in an institution. And the Flash goes on trial for murder, the murder of Professor Zoom. And it's basically, Flash gives up his Barry Allen ID, so there's all this drama about whatever happened to Barry Allen. It's a courtroom drama. He has a sexy lawyer named Cecil Horton. There's kind of like the whatever happened to Barry Allen. Is he guilty? Is he not? It's the Justice League has to deal with this stuff. The city kind of turns against him. It's such an amazing read, and the fact that it took over 2 years to tell this story. And as I said, that when they concluded it, they finished this. They basically, it was the last Barry Allen story from the classic era, because after they finished this story, like 6 months later, they killed him off in Crisis.
Oh, right.
That was what they did. Now, here's the thing, and I can see you, your eyes twitching over this Carmine Infantino art.
I just have to say I know that hate is a strong word.
Yeah.
But I absolutely hate Carmine Infantino and... his name has just been wiped from my mind because of the Kurt Swan. As a kid, I couldn't stand their art at all.
As a kid, I couldn't stand Carmen Infantino's art either. It really bothered me, and I've never been a fan. Although, trivia, did you know he actually was he designed the Black Canary?
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, but anyways, I've never
That's like current John Romita Jr. art.
Right.
I hate that.
I don't like him either, actually. No. But anyways, I've never liked Carmen Infantino's art. But as I've been reading this book, as each issue goes by, I get more and more used to it. It kind of started to grow on me, and it ended up being very stylistic, and it goes really well with the storyline. Some of the characters in these, too, like, I mean, it's such a classic storyline because Flash fights Gorilla Grodd. He goes up against the Pied Piper, Rainbow Raider, and it introduces what probably the most controversial villain in the history of DC Comics, Big Sur. Do you remember Big Sur?
Well, I remember Big Sur from the Bwahaha Justice.
That's right.
This is it the same guy?
It's the same guy. It introduced him here, and Big Sur was basically mentally challenged supervillain who was manipulated into fighting the Flash when some villains basically said, oh, look, he liked mice. And the Flash actually, like, he ran over a mouse and he killed a mouse. And Big Sur goes on this rampage because he's like, and it was really controversial. It did not fly. That's why you'll never see Big Sur in anything today. Because I guess after the 80s and the sensibility of the 90s, they put Big Sur to bed because...
Like, this page here looks right out of 1950s Mystery in Space. It doesn't even look like a 1950s comic. It doesn't even look like a 1980s comic.
I'm not telling you. I got to tell you. Cary Bates' writing is superb. This here is a true comic masterpiece. And as I said, as you start reading it, you slowly become more and more... I remember, like, Infantino's never been one of my favorite artists. I remember watching him. I first discovered him reading the New Adventures of Supergirl. And I was like, why are all the people really ugly in this book? And but as I said, as I read this Flash book, I mean, it's just...
Well, I remember we had a conversation that they were reprinting that Supergirl.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to get it. Do you think you'll get it now that you're kind of used to his art?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I will, actually, because I have grained, just like you, I've never liked Infantino's art. And the more I read this, the more I'm gaining an appreciation for it.
Are you done this? Can I borrow this?
Yeah.
Cool. I'm going to try reading
it. You can read it. It is so, as I said.
Oh, it's black and white. Can I color it in like all the hipsters do?
No.
Oh, come on.
But as I said, and you know what this is interesting? This is the most Flash I've probably read in my life.
Hubba hubba.
Who's that? Oh, I know. That's Fiona Webb. She's gone insane.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyways, that's the big thing I read this week. I read that whole book in 1 week, and I just couldn't put it down. It was such a page-turner.
Excellent.
Yeah.
It's not turning Marty's pages right now.
I've been yawning since I got here, so... Just excuse me.
You've been really quiet since I got here, Dan. How are you?
That's because you burst through the door like the Kool-Aid man. And I'm good, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing good. I've been reading The Flash.
Reading The Flash, yeah.
Now, what else is going on in the world of comics? I'm going to be quiet again, and I'll let you guys
Marty has to stop yawning long enough to talk.
How about Chapter House?
What's going on with Chapter House?
So you guys touched on it last week a little bit.
A little.
But, I got a friend of mine who works for Chapter House, works at Chapter House, kind of gave us a little bit of a heads up on what's to be expected in 2017.
Oh, yeah?
And I guess I'm just going to put it right out there. I'm upset that Captain Canuck's not coming out every month because I like the book. I love the book. And it's from love that I'm upset that it's not coming out. I understand, you know, creators take a little time and things delays and all that stuff. And, you know, the old days, whenever a comic book was late, they just threw a reprint out.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think reprints would fly either. I think we'd dislike that,
you know,
right?
I know how you feel. I'd feel the same way if that was happening with Betty and Veronica.
Exactly. So, you know, but stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's canceled, so let's not get panicking. But... basically, all new Captain Canuck, which was the reprint series, but
the all new original.
The all new original Captain Canuck is going to issue 4, and then it's going to go away for a while, undetermined exactly how long. So issue 4 is basically the last issue of that series until something changes. Captain Canuck is going on a hiatus as well after issue 11, so that's not going to be around. Northgard goes on hiatus again as of issue 4 and will be back late 2017. So it's not coming out. Die Kitty Die is coming out up until January. So that'll be the first 4 issues that were originally in the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Not coming back till April when the second Kickstarter, which we'll talk about later, fires up and the next 4 issues come out. So Die Kitty Die ends in January.
Yep.
Right? And Pitiful Human Lizard's coming out. True Patriot Presents is a new book that's coming out. Fourth Planet's coming out every other month. Is that semi-monthly? We never got that straightened out. Bi-monthly, bi-weekly?
That would be bi-monthly.
I know the publishing industry does things differently than everybody else. So it's going to come out every other month. So really, it's like, well, what's Chapter House going to do? There's nothing. What, you know, everything's on a break. So they came out with this neat idea of what they're going to do is they're going to kind of adopt the Dark Horse kind of way of doing things. Let's release everything sort of like in 4-issue bursts.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if they're actually going to renumber them and call them miniseries Dark Horse does. I don't think so, because everything I'm reading here is saying the numbering is going to continue. But there'll be like 4 issues of one book, then 4 issues of a different book, then 4 issues of another book, sort of just kind of filling in the gaps a little bit. So the first bunch is Freelance, right?
I'm going to buy that.
Everybody who knows Canadian Whites knows the character Freelance.
I'm kind of excited to see what they do with that.
So he's getting relaunched. So there'll be 4 issues of Freelance coming out starting January, right? So that's good. And then there's one called Fantoma, which, again, I've heard of in relation to Canadian Whites, but I don't think I've actually read any of his stuff or her stuff. I don't know. Is it a girl? Is it a guy?
Yeah. I'm not familiar.
So that's going to be one of those filler series that's going to come out for 4 issues. Agents of Pact, which is going to be the female characters from Captain Canuck. So Redcoat and Fleur de Lis,
yeah.
Right? And what's, oh my gosh.
I only know that because she got a stamp.
Yeah, I must be tired. So it'll be sort of a series focusing on them. And the last Captain Canuck issue was indeed sort of almost a female-centric, almost like a preview of what they're talking about this series is going to be like. And that's going to be, you know, 4 issues and ongoing, but in 4-issue bursts. And they talked about another one, but I couldn't find reference to it just
Please tell me
anywhere.
It's Major Domo
it is
and
not.
JoJo.
I know that for a fact.
How can... What?
I told you to go write your own.
Mm-hmm. So, for those that don't know who Major
Domo
and JoJo is, Major Domo is a World War I, was it?
Yes.
World War I vet who had his arms blown off in the trenches, and he befriends a, how should we say, vertically challenged individual?
Little person.
A little person, and throws this little person on his back as a backpack, and that is his arms. And he is the rest of the body, and they fight crime.
That is so brilliant.
It is so off the charts, weird, and non-PC that I just don't know how that would fly.
And think about that. It was the 1940s.
Yeah.
And it was and Dan had every opportunity to put those in his comic strip, and he doesn't have little Domo and even smaller JoJo.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him. So those are not
the
characters.
No, we want to be able to sell our comic book.
Yeah, exactly.
To people who aren't you.
So what they're going to do is there's going to be like 4 issues of Fantoma and 4 issues of Freelance, and there's going to be 4 issues of Agents of Pact and 4 issues of the other one, and then 4 of the Freelance, 4 of the Fantoma, 4 of the Agents. And they're going to kind of have that revolving in arcs and having the arcs come out on top of getting back on track with Captain Canuck and Northgard and all the rest of them. So.
Well,
it should be good.
Question is you said Pack.
Yes.
Right. Wasn't that Big Jim's?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wild Pack. Yeah, Big Jim.
Big Jim. And that's when they try to say, because Big Jim's sport antics weren't maybe going, they were like, no, we got to put him more like G.I. Joe.
We got to get him more adventurous, so we'll come out with the
these
Wolf Pack.
The Wolf Pack. That was it. It was the mercenaries.
Exactly. They had the one guy with the silver hand.
How did Big Jim not get his own comic book series?
They did release Big Jim comics with some of the figures.
Oh, really?
So there is some comic book material, but they never got their own series.
Wow, they need to reprint that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That would be fun.
And I also think that the Chapter House one is packed with a T.
Oh.
Yes, P-A-C-T. It is packed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not pack.
Yeah.
Talking about obscure, not obscure, but one of my most exciting piece of comic book news this week was the fact that Dynamite next year is going to be doing a brand new Barbarella comic book.
They are. I read that.
I am so excited about that. Now, about 2 years ago...
Depends.
Depends on what?
Is the art going to be similar to the original Barbarella French comic?
Ugh.
Or are they going to do this Vampirella nonsense where...
Who knows?
She's wearing a t-shirt and...
A couple of years ago... I remember when I knew there was the original Barbarella comic. It was one of those things I always wanted to read, and it just always eluded me. And about 2 or 3 years ago, they actually reprinted for the first time in something like 30 years, the original Barbarella comic in English.
Yeah.
And then they, for the first time ever, did the second series in in English. And they had never been released in English before, and they did one major, like, big hardcover, and I bought it. And it is – the original French comic is so fun. It's very sexual, and it's really cheesecake, and Barbarella loses her clothes in, like, every issue. It was one of those ones where each story was connected, but they were also self-contained, and they were, like, five-page stories from a men's magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are – they're just – they're so creative, and the art's just – like, I wouldn't call it beautiful, but – it's stylized. Like, it's such an interesting read. And it was really interesting how they were able to use so many of those five-page stories to actually make up the movie. Like, the movie was so heavily borrowed, right? Like, you know, based on the comic strip itself.
And that's why if you watch the movie, it seems like it's a serial set of yeah. stories kind of put together, because that's indeed what it was.
Yeah. And of course, the second storyline was just more one big book. I think it was released actually as a book, and it wasn't nearly as good. It was like Barbarella in some kind of space sex circus or something like that. I know that sounds great, but it wasn't. But I'm really excited to see what Dynamite does about it. Did you notice that there was any creative team announced for it yet?
No, I didn't pay any attention to
that. No, but of course Duran Duran took their names from that comic.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm really excited to see what they do with it. So that was my favorite piece of news this week.
Should be fun.
Dynamite's an interesting. I don't know. Dynamite's weird because they get some really really good franchises, but I always find that the first few issues are really great, and then it just peters out by the end. I find that, like, right now I'm reading their latest Shadow book by Matt Wagner, which I'm really enjoying. It's really good. But I remember, like, when they did the Shaft book, Shaft started off strong, and then it just kind of, and Lone Ranger, Zorro, Red Sonja.
Did they change, like, the creative team? Is that why it suffered, or?
I think the creators just kind of get bored of it after a while, and it just kind of, you know. I remember they did a long-running Dark Shadows book, and the first couple series were amazing. And then it just, it's almost like the company... they get really excited about something. They put everything they got into it, and then until they get their next franchise.
That sounds like Archie Comics press releases.
Ooh, it does, doesn't it?
Shabam! Shabam!
So that's what I think the biggest problem with Dynamite. But I get sucked in every time, though. Every time they get a cool franchise, I'm like, oh my god, James Bond, yeah!
And that seems
I'm in.
That seems like where the Dark Horse mentality of releasing them as miniseries makes sense. Because, you know, you can get that four issue. I've got this great idea for four issues, I've got this great idea for six issues. Start, finish, here you go. And then wait for somebody to come out with another good idea with that property.
Okay,
Like Sergio Aragonés with Guru does the same thing. You know, here's a six issue miniseries. Here's a four issue miniseries. I'm taking a break. I've got money. I'm going to sit in my villa. And I'm going to make another four issues. Mm-hmm. So it's a way of doing comics, and it seems to work well for them.
Yeah.
So you wonder if maybe Dynamite needs to do that.
Yeah. Well, Dynamite does do that. Their books are usually only four to ten issues.
There
you go. You know, everything's not based to be a regular series. I mean, and then they do like 100 different versions. Like, The Shadow's been running forever, but it's always like little six-part series or whatever.
Yeah. So they
This new Matt Wagner one, I think, is an 8-part series, and it's been solid so far.
Dan. Wildstorm's coming back. Are you excited?
No.
Neither am I. Are
I
you?
I can't care less.
There is a very vocal community of Wildstorm Image fans that are excited about this. I'm not one of them.
I think the only one of their books I ever read was Gen 13, and I was only reading it for the J. Scott Campbell art, and because I just liked the sexy girls. And there you go. I only read it that brief time that he was doing it, and then I never touched it again.
So this is going to get released as sort of an imprint, just like the Young Animals imprint, which we got to talk about. So it's being curated by Warren Ellis.
Hmm.
So just like, what is his name, Gerard Way is curating the Young Animals, Warren Ellis's. So I don't know. It's kind of like a Marvel announcement. I don't know anything about the characters. I don't really care anything about the characters much. So... let them do whatever the hell they're going to do. I just don't care.
Hmm.
But I'm sure there's somebody out there who's like yelling at the radio right now.
Oh, yeah.
Wildstorm is the greatest.
I have not read a single Wildstorm comic in my life.
There you go. I think I used to read Wildcats for a while, but then got all weird and didn't get released. And
I
said
my big thing was Gen 13 in the 90s, and I can't even name all the characters now.
There you go.
I think I have a Caitlin Fairchild action figure somewhere, but I think she's in storage because she's so irrelevant. I don't even have her up with my superhero toys.
There was a guy. It's been a while since he's done comics, and I think he came back and did a few, but his art style was really cool. He used to do Dark Stars.
I remember Dark Stars.
What the heck was his name? He was, I think he was Canadian. But he did Wildcats for a little while, too. Mm-hmm. Gosh, what the heck was his name? I'm just not firing on all cylinders here today. But it was pretty awesome. So we'll see how that goes. And, of course, we were talking earlier about Batwoman coming out.
Batwoman's coming out?
Yeah. So,
I didn't know that.
DC's releasing their next batch of comics.
Oh, okay. What are some of them? I haven't heard this
yet. The only ones so far concrete are three. The Super Sons.
Okay, finally.
Right. Finally it's going to come out. Batwoman's getting her own series. And then Justice League of America, which we were talking about when you just came in.
That's three books I'm not going to buy.
Well, I might get the Batwoman. I don't know. We're kind of toying with that idea.
Oh, it was Marguerite Bennett.
Yeah, she's doing the...
She's on the Batwoman.
She's writing it, isn't she? Or drawing it?
You know what's interesting is, see, Batgirl, Batwoman is a character. Okay, if I find a comic book with Batwoman, like the original Batwoman in the yellow costume, like an old comic with her in it, I buy it in a heartbeat. And I do have some Silver Age. Would it be Silver Age? I guess it would be.
Or Golden?
Well, not quite Golden Age. It was early Silver Age that she kind of appeared, kind of between that gray area between mm-hmm. Golden Age and Silver Age is when she showed up. And I have a few with her. And then, of course, she was in Batman Family in the 70s where they eventually killed her off. She was killed off in Batman Family. And I love that version of the character. But when they reintroduced her, that version of hers never interested me very much.
Really? I'm surprised by that.
I know you would. You'd think I'd be all over it. But yeah. My part, you know, there's just so many Batgirl characters running around. And I guess Barbara Gordon's my Batgirl, and mm-hmm. that's that. And then even then, like, I like Stephanie Brown even better than that.
Well, she's not Batgirl.
Stephanie Brown?
She's Batwoman, no.
Oh, well, I understand Batwoman. That, but she's just not a character.
He's saying he doesn't have enough room in his heart for that many Bat characters that are female.
Oh. I guess not. Not when I got, like, Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy and Black Canary, kinda, and Zatanna, sorta.
They're all kind of... Spider-Gwen.
Well, I was going around Bat characters, well. Because Black Canary is a bird of prey. Zatanna has strong mythology to the Batman universe. Paul Dini wrote her back in. Did you see last night, maybe you guys missed it, but Paul Dini put a post on Facebook that for the last 6 months he's been working on a Harley Quinn Poison Ivy project that is coming out. And that's really amazing because Paul Dini, he left the New 52. Like, he left DC with the New 52. And... basically, last time I spoke to him, I remember him saying that he wasn't interested in writing comics anymore. And he is working on a Harley Quinn. Now, I don't know if it's a comic or if it's a cartoon or if it's a TV series. I don't know what it is. But for the last 6 months, he put that up on Facebook. Harley, he's going to be doing Harley and Ivy again.
Maybe it's going to be a comic, a cartoon.
I think it'd be great. If it was like a direct-to-DVD movie or something, I'd be all over that.
Speaking of DVD movies.
That was a great segue.
Batman 66.
Yeah.
The original TV series Batman cartoon coming out on disc shortly.
Yeah. And
on electric. Is going to be playing downtown at the theater on Monday.
This Monday?
Yep. One viewing only. It's like I said, Batman 66 character. So, you know, Biff, Bang, Pow, Boom, Kabow. Mm-hmm. Adam West is returning as the voice of Batman. So is Burt Ward. Burt Ward's not returning as the voice of Batman. Burt Ward is returning as the voice of Robin. And
what else is Burt Ward going to do?
Catwoman.
Julie Newmar.
Newmar's doing the voice of Catwoman.
That's great.
So that'd be a fun little cartoon.
That'd be a fun little cartoon. Now, have you ever looked at Burt Ward's list of credits?
Have you ever looked at my list of credits? Burt Ward's done more than I have.
Oh, yeah, but not much.
Yeah.
Burt Ward.
He's Robin.
Yeah, he was Robin. And then he was Robin, and then he was the voice of Robin.
Then he played himself in Return to the Batcave, a movie where he talked about Robin.
About Robin, but and then he was that Robin, was a great the voice movie. Of Robin again. If you ever look at his, if you ever actually look at his credits, like all he is Robin, but If you ever
that's still more movie credits than I have.
But if you actually ever listen to people talk about him, like stuff that's been written, Burr Ward is extremely unpopular with anyone who's ever worked with him. More unpopular than even William Shatner.
Oh, see, now you're just slinging hash.
I know stuff.
You know stuff.
I'm not even saying all the stuff I know about
Burr
Ward.
He's going to come to your house. He's going to pistol whip you. He's a mark, and they have guns.
Any of you guys, want to hear? No.
No, we don't.
No.
Okay, all right.
Here's something else to get Sam wound up. Yeah. Let's talk about The Walking Dead. There's a new story that was just up on Bleeding Cool about The Walking Dead, and that the comic book series was originally supposed to end when Rick got to Alexandria, but they decided that they still had more story to tell and came up with a new ending. And they've also said that the way the show is going to end and the way the comic ends is not going to be the same.
No. The way the comic ends and the way the show ends is not going to be the same.
That's right.
My God, my mind is blown. And you know,
oh, the sarcasm in this room.
I can't believe.
Tone it down. The meter's going to break. The sarcasm meter.
Do you think it could be because Andrea's still alive and Daryl Dixon isn't in the book? Do you think that could have something to do with it?
Those characters literally could have nothing to do with the ending of either part.
Because... Yeah, no, I don't have a problem. I mean, the TV show's deviated from the comic book sufficiently that I don't think anybody's that concerned about
its own entity now.
It's its own entity, and just like you can read Batman, you can read Detective and all that stuff, you're fine. I don't think it'll be a big problem.
I just
wanted to see Sam.
Yeah, watch Sam twitch.
I don't know. Did that work out for you?
It did, actually.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad.
You want more twitching? Back to Adam West.
Yeah, back to Adam West.
Adam West wants to do a Batman TV show / movie a la Gran Torino. You know, old busted up Clint Eastwood sitting on his...
That I'd watch.
So he wants to do an old Batman. Okay. That would be hilarious.
I would watch that. I would watch that. Can I please tell you guys my Adam West Burt Ward story?
No, you've already told it like 26 times.
Yeah.
Move on.
Okay.
Find new friends.
Why don't we get new
stories?
Should we talk about the new Die Kitty Die?
Yes, let's do it.
You can take
the lead. So basically at New York Comic Con this weekend, Fernando Ruiz and
it's also his birthday today. Happy birthday, Fernando.
A lot of good things happened in 1969. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. So Fernando Ruiz and Dan Parent are announcing the next four issues of Die Kitty Die, which is called Hollywood or Bust, which is basically about a Hollywood production company trying to do a Die Kitty Die movie. You can go on to Kickstarter because they need our support again, but I was looking at it this morning. It's been one day, and they're already at something like... Last time I looked, they were at 25% funded already.
Yeah.
So, and that was this morning at 9 a.m., so I don't know where they're at now.
Yeah, I don't anticipate they'll have trouble.
Not a problem.
Just like the last one was they... made their goal, no problem.
But what's amazing, and I don't know if it's just me, but Die Kitty Die seems to have, or it's because Dan and Fernando are just publicizing this so well, Die Kitty Die has a crazy fan base already.
Well, it's good.
But that's it, right?
It's funny, it's good, it's takes a stab. If you know anything about the behind the scenes stuff of what's going on at Archie, you get that layer of zingers in there. It's just a good solid comic book by two guys that have a very good following.
But not just the Archie, but just the comic industry in general.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see what they do with the Die Kitty Die movie. In fact, I already know one of the jokes because potentially one of the jokes that was maybe, I don't know. Anyways, I'm just not going to say much more. But I'm going to say go support this. If you love Die Kitty Die the first time around, you're going to love Die Kitty Die the second time around even more.
Now, I do have one caveat to this, and I have a question.
He needs a lanyard.
Well, yeah, I didn't get a lanyard, and you know, well, whatever. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Whatever, you know. I'll chew them out next time I see him. No, I won't. I'll be like, oh, hello, I'm Sam's friend. But anyways, this is happening more and more frequently. You support something in Kickstarter, and you get all these rewards, but there's always, you know, like an art page or a panel or a sketch cover, so your stuff ends up being a little bit delayed. And then I don't have the Die Kitty Die hardcover in my hand. I know Harry
had this issue as well. He doesn't have it in his hand, and we're seeing it for sale in stores.
Yeah.
On tables. We see people walking around who didn't support the Kickstarter, walk around with their books, and we're like, but.
I have mine right here.
Yeah.
That I bought from Fernando at
you know, Expo. The whole point of the Kickstarter was, we're going to give you some upfront money, and you're going to reward us for believing in you. And yet, the stuff is showing up. You know, I did this Kickstarter for a documentary about the Tim Burton Superman. Mm-hmm. Same thing. I got the disc 2-3 months after it was released to the general public.
How did you like that documentary?
I thought it was good. It was a great documentary.
I'd love to see that. I haven't seen
it. It was awesome.
I would, yeah.
You know, if you're into the behind-the-scenes stuff.
I'd like to see that.
So, again, like with this Die Kitty Die, if I support the hardcover, am I going to get the hardcover, or can I just pick it up at the comic shop or at the trade shows?
It's good to be a part of it. It's been good to support the guys, make sure it happens.
But
I understand your point. The same thing happened to me with Johnny Canuck and Elmana.
Yeah.
Like, especially Johnny Canuck. I mean, the big problem is because my last name starts with T. So I'm always at
on the mail list.
I'm always at the end of the mail list. Both of you lads had your Die Kitty Die before I did, but I got it. They were holding on to it till I could.
Yeah, you got yours like one day after me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but that's different. Yeah,
that was a little.
Yours, no,
a little
you got different. Your Die Kitty Die before I got mine.
Yeah. Did I?
Mine came in the mail. Yeah.
So I was the first one to get it.
You were the first of the bunch.
You and you didn't even support you didn't even support the Kickstarter.
I didn't support the Kickstarter.
But you will be this time.
Financially. However,
you sure did on
we
air.
Verbally supported it. And, you know, there was a lot
and
of...
And you bought the hardcover.
So you're supporting the product. You've actually done more for Die Kitty Die than a lot of people.
And, you know, there was some other Kickstarters that were going on around the same time.
You have hair like Kitty.
Okay. I don't know what to say.
Neither do I. I'm dumbfounded. Like, yeah,
literally, stop me.
Kitty has a beard? What?
No, he has red hair. Like
Are
Kitty.
You eating red mushrooms
no,
or
no,
something
Kitty,
like
Kitty has red hair,
you've
and so
got,
does Dan.
You've got red hair.
I do have red hair. I'm just bald.
Look at this horrible Carmen and Infantino art.
Anyways,
I can't even draw a gorilla.
Actually, he can't draw a gorilla. His gorillas are terrible.
There is a terrible gorilla. I see.
My God, that is like the worst gorilla in comic book history.
So my question is:
the gorillas from Gilligan's Island are more realistic than that.
Yes, I believe the Die Kitty Die guys deserve your support because it's a great product. If you don't manage to support the Kickstarter, don't be upset with yourself. Just go get the book when it comes out. Go get the Chapter House comics. You can support them that way as well. But if you can, go with the Kickstarter.
Now, I'm going to
just hope they ship you a lanyard.
Steal Sam's thunder because he had his mouth open to talk.
Okay, go.
But
shoot.
Because he mentioned some other Kickstarters he supported, the Johnny Canuck, the...
Nelvana.
And I guess there's another one of those coming out.
Yeah, Mr. Monster.
There's another one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I didn't get Mr. Monster.
I was too late to the game for that one, but Scott Chandler posted a picture on his Facebook page of the Polka Dot Pirate for an upcoming Kickstarter that hasn't been announced yet.
Cool.
It's great that all of these like awesome Golden Age heroes that you've never heard of are getting their due finally.
I have a really nice Black Canary drawn by Scott Chandler in my bedroom.
I like him.
Yeah, I met him years ago. When he was first starting out, he did Jay Torres did a little graphic novel about girl groups from the 50s, and Scott Chandler drew it. It was just beautiful art, and that's when I met him. I don't think I've met him since then, though.
And so what were you going to say before I jumped in?
Well, I wanted to give a little update on the...
A Luann?
It is about Luann, but it's not a Luann update.
Luann!
As I was saying last week, they just released that sub-site about Luann's brother, Brad, and his girlfriend, Tony, getting married.
Okay.
And I was telling you how that they had a contest where you could design Tony's dress.
Yes, you
were. Now, if you go
that.
To luannfan.com, you can vote on the dress, and they have 50 dresses for that fans have drawn to vote on. Last night, I voted on my dress, for the dress that I want Tony to wear in the December wedding. But you can go to luannfan.com and vote on Tony's dress and what dress she's going to... Whoa!
There's a ghost in
I was
in
just
here.
Attacked by my microphone.
You were. That was creepy.
And just for the record, I wasn't adjusting it on the radio like Sam was last week.
Sorry. Anyways,
So it's Luann, because Sam doesn't wear headphones.
So luannfan.com. Go
on,
over
let me bang
there.
The table a few times.
Go over there, and why are you interrupting me? I'm talking about Luann.
I don't know.
All right. So luannfan.com, go over there, and I know you don't care about Luann. Did you even know Luann had a brother named Brad that's getting married?
Nope.
He probably did from listening to the show last week.
Luann is probably drawn by Carmine Infantino. That's probably why I don't know.
She's drawn by Greg Evans, who also writes it. But anyways, definitely. And also, if you haven't gone over to read the Brad and Tony site, it's a great read. It's really it's the best thing I've read this month.
Other than The Flash.
Well, it's kind of.
You liked it better than The Flash.
I like both about equal. Yeah, so that's all I have to say about Luann this week. What the hell was that?
That was well brought up,
dude. Seriously, oh my god, we went from like a classy radio show to like a episode of like, I don't know, like Trailer Park Boys.
You're the one that brought in the Carmine Infantino book and brought down the caliber of the show. Anyways, back to your story.
You just adjusted your mic, dude.
I did. I'm going to do it again.
All right. So,
we are never being invited back again.
No.
I have that problem.
Yeah, that's why your wife hasn't had me back to your house in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might be the poisonous eggs you were at that one time.
Oh, that could have been it. She wasn't even there for that.
Hey? Oh, she heard.
Oh, she heard about it.
Oh, she heard.
Yeah. One time I accidentally almost killed Marty's entire family and myself, I might add, except for his daughter, Erin, who was smart enough not to eat the eggs.
There you go.
Never.
So what else is going on? Die Kitty Die. New York Comic Con. Flash. Did you guys watch the first episode of Flash?
Oh, I haven't watched the Flash in like two seasons.
So they were talking about Flashpoint, right?
Yeah.
And it was all supposed to be Flashpoint. They did it in one episode. I thought it was supposed to be all season long.
Well, see,
Flashpoint is over and done with in one episode.
See, then that would have, like, you know, the whole new 52. Flashpoint was one of the giant mistakes of the DC universe.
No way, it was good.
Ugh.
Shut.
Ugh.
You're the one that's, like, enjoying Civil War. You're the only person on the planet enjoying Civil War right
now. I know, it's just me, and that's it. I'm the only one reading Civil War in the entire world.
Speaking of Marvel Comics.
I like Marvel Comics.
What about that headline you posted to the one Facebook group?
I don't think I saw that.
About there not being any Marvel comics in the charts or something.
Yeah.
What was that about?
The Bleeding Cool does a little thing there, top 10, top 100 comics.
Yeah.
And what they do is they actually poll a bunch of comic shops from around the globe. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of informal. It's, you know, like 10 comic shops they ask, 5 comic shops, whatever. That particular week, the only Marvel comic in the top 10 was Star Wars.
Wow.
All the rest were DC comics.
How the mighty has fallen.
I'm telling you, nobody's
and
reading
it. Wasn't
the
like
War.
The first issue of Death of X this week or something?
I
don't know. I didn't read it.
Champions number one came out, but it shouldn't be called Champions. It should be called New Warriors with the lineup that they have.
I guess.
I don't even know why they're calling it Champions.
Because it's about the champions?
It's not. It's got the Young Nova. It's got Division's Kid in it. It's got Miss Marvel. The Cho Hulk.
Even I'll admit that I have canceled all of my Marvel books for the exception of Spider-Gwen, Patsy Walker, a.k.a. Hawkat.
That's still coming out.
It is, and it's still really good. And Gwenpool, which I think is probably my favorite Marvel book right now. And the only other one I was going to cancel Silk, but the last issue of Silk was actually had a really epic cliffhanger. And I was like, oh, Silk's getting good again. So, but yeah, I've canceled all my Marvel books. They're all gone.
So you missed, before you got here, Marty and I were talking about how many Marvel books we pull.
Okay.
And he has 2 and I have 1.
And I got 4.
Yeah, so you're
But at one time, I was at 20.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like, I remember when DC was doing the new 52 thing, I was just so grossed out by it that I basically canceled all my DC books and I was buying all Marvel, and now I'm buying all DC, and I'm buying more Image books than anything else. I'm at about I think I'm buying about 10 DC books, 4 Marvel, and I'm at about 15 Image books. So that's the first time Image has been outselling, but I'm sorry, I'm just addicted to their crime and horror comics.
Yeah. No, I mean all the books, like I was on board for Superior Spider-Man. I thought that was great. The Spider-Man that came afterwards was okay. The one before was even better.
And then this Iron Man, Spider-Man.
Oh, man, the new Spider-Man's been
monstrosity.
Just, that's the first time I haven't bought in Spider-Man in 10 years is this current Spider-Man series. I will be buying a couple more Marvel books come Christmas. Like, I am going to be picking up the Jessica Jones book, and I'm picking up the Hawkeye book. And I'm probably going to try the Wasp book out. But otherwise, that's probably where I'm going to stop at Marvel for a while.
Yeah. See how it goes. My kid bought Deadpool versus Spider-Man, the trade paperback.
Oh, yeah?
And I kind of tried to read it. Now, I was a big fan of the Justice League, Bwahaha stuff in the 80s. So I like a funny book. Mm-hmm. I didn't find this book funny at all.
That's why you got to
There was nothing in it that was funny.
That's why you should be reading Gwenpool.
There
is
was
so
nothing funny,
funny
in the Spider-Man and Deadpool. It was a chore. It was a monotonous chore to read it, and I don't know why everybody likes it.
That's why you should be reading Gwenpool. Because
well, I've
Gwenpool,
read a couple of Gwenpool,
Gwenpool
books,
is
and they
hilarious.
Didn't, no, I didn't find it funny
And
at all.
For guys, comic fans like us, it actually caters to us as fans, because it's all about the act of reading a comic. Gwenpool's superpower is that she's from our universe, Earth Prime, and she's read all the comics. That is her superpower.
Like, I tried the Harley. I didn't find Harley funny either.
I liked Harley for quite a long time. Ugh. I grew bored of it after a while, though.
Yeah, just it was the same shtick over and over again. Yeah. It was just
But yeah, Gwenpool is to me is extremely fresh. It's she's cute, she's funny, she's
How can she be cute? She wears a mask.
Well, because sometimes she doesn't wear the mask. Ugh. But even with the mask, she's cute. She has those big eyes, and she wears
what
pink.
Big eyes. Oh, my God. It's like talking to somebody who likes anime.
So did you see that Marvel is going to do whatever it takes to get back on top, though?
That's the rumor. They're going to have all sorts of, well, you can,
shenanigans.
You can read it if you want, but basically they're going to do all sorts of stupid things where if you order 300 copies of this, we'll give you this bonus. And if you read, but order
is
400
copies of this.
Is it an
Arthur Adams Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. cover?
You know, and it's just, they're just going crazy with all these. If you order 300% of what you ordered of this one issue, then we'll give you this other issue. And it's just like, everything that's wrong.
Like 300%. That's a lot of percentage.
Yeah, like if you buy 10 books, you got to buy 30. Is that 300?
Do you think this could Anyways. Could be the revival of Millie the Model somewhere?
Oh gosh, where did you come up with this?
if you buy 400% of Marvel, we'll bring back Millie the Model.
But what Marvel is doing?
That would only
here,
work with you.
What Marvel's doing here is exactly what everybody's complaining about: is artificially inflating numbers by offering stupid promotions, dumb variants, you know, ridiculous requirements on the comic shops. You know, if you want this book, you have to order 300 of this book. Well, I don't want 300 of that book. My customers want this book. What am I going to do with all the copies of those books? They're going to be in the dollar.
If I could create any Marvel book, it would be Marvel 2-in-1 featuring Millie the Model and Man-Thing.
Ugh, it's just stupid. Like, what's it say here? If you order
Millie the Model and Dr. Voodoo.
Like, if you order Fool Killer number 1.
Millie the Model and J. Jonah Jameson. That'd be a really good issue.
See, there's no point.
Millie the Model and Fing Fang Foom.
It's now the Sam Tweedle Show. Keep going.
Oh, I'm done.
Jeez Louise. Are you getting this Fool Killer book?
No.
Your comic shop's going to have 125% more of them than you need.
Yeah. Well, I'm not buying it.
You dropped the Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows, right?
I didn't even order it. I was going to order it until I read the description, and then I'm like, oh, crap, I'm out.
They jacked the price of it to $4.99 a piece.
See, thank God I'm not even buying it, because I was going to, and I was just like, I didn't like the... I loved the first Renew Your Vows series, but when I actually read this thing that Mary Jane... I love the fact where it was like Peter and his daughter had powers, right? And they both had powers, and she wasn't supposed to use her powers, but now they're like, you know what? We're going to give Mary Jane spider powers, too. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's dumb.
There you go.
That's all it was. Mary Jane with spider powers, I'm out.
That's the problem. They're just, instead of trying to beat DC with good comics and good concepts, they're going to do it with stupid marketing.
Yeah.
And on that bombshell.
I'm just confused by this line that says Invincible Iron Man number 1, 250% more than orders for Invincible Iron Man number 10.
That's because it's being rebooted again, and there's a new number 1. So
what?
Sweet.
Yeah, if you ordered
and a new Ghost Rider.
And a new Ghost Rider and like, they're restarting with new number ones.
Yeah. See, I'm
anyways, we gotta get out of here soon,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
On that note.
What a weird show. Have you guys felt like this was a weird show? This was a bit of a weird show.
It was an under caffeinated show.
Definitely.
Level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take 3.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.